Thank you for the sweet aroma of the faithfulness and the sacrifice of your people. Father, we thank you because every altar requires a sacrifice, and the sacrifice determines the aroma that comes before your throne. Thank you that this altar truly receives your undivided attention of heaven. We are grateful that you have established this altar for our nation and for the church. You've established this altar, Father, to strengthen and enforce our ability to serve you more effectively. Father, we thank you. Have your way tonight and continue to reveal yourself to us. Thank you for the grace you poured out upon us to wait on you these past 21 days. We thank you for the fruit that is coming out of it. We thank you for the breaking forth and the breaking through. Father, we thank you that everyone will have a testimony of your faithfulness even in this season. Have your way tonight, because there is none like you. Receive all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I really want to thank God. I want to join with Sister Bailey, Moni, and ASLPN leaders to really thank all of you that really responded to the call to bring this nation before the throne of God through prayer and fasting these past 21 days. We know that God is hard, and I know that some of us have already seen the results of it, the fruit of it, and we'll continue to see the fruit of it on the nation. America is at a time that has never been in history. And most of the words that have been used to describe the state of the nation after election is the word unprecedented. And we see clearly the tension in the nation with the present government and what's happening. We see the tension around the other nations, and we see the shaking and the instability of the nations are unable to predict where America is going and what's really happening. So we are living in an uncertain time, and like we've shared on this line, and why, and the reason we also were led to call for a prophetic time of prayer is because we have learned from the fathers of faith. Daniel lived in a time like this. Joseph's, they live in a time like this. And we saw how Daniel single-handedly and some of his team were able to, through the power of prophetic prayer, were able to influence the atmosphere of Babylon and the transitions that took place in his time. And how through his prayer and understanding the season was able to birth and position Israel to inherit the prophetic jubilee they walked in. So even now, much more even now, God is calling us through this power of prayer and through united sacrificial prayer to partner with God to influence the atmosphere of the nation, to influence its seat of power, and also to pray the church through and to cause the church to come in alignment and position the church to serve its prophetic destiny. Even in this hour, the days are gone when the atmosphere of a nation is completely controlled by the powers of darkness prevailing over the mindset of government. So we are living in a prophetic time of fulfillment where God now is raising altars of prayer to now seize and allow the kingdom of God, position itself to really pray through and allow the atmosphere of nations to be completely influenced by the kingdom of God. That's the season we are in. So we're not just going to sit by and complain about situations or be concerned or worried about what is raging around us. But through prophetic understanding of the time, we will continue to pray so that America will be fully aligned to his destiny in these last days, and the church will be in a position to really serve his God's purpose in this hour. So that's what we'll continue to do as God continue to open our eyes to understand where things are going and how we should respond through prayer. And God will be speaking to us on this altar. You saw at the end of the 21 days, the Lord spoke to us prophetically. And we need to take this prophetic word seriously so that God can trust us with more words, that we are obedient people. So let's continue to encourage ourselves, and let's continue to really be more serious about being online in the times of prayer, because I believe we're going to be hearing more what the Lord is saying. And I believe also God will be sharing with us some things very soon. So I'll be also sharing with you some things, but I'm still watching some things more clearly. But let's be totally really waiting on the Lord in a sensitive way, because the atmosphere of the nation and the siege of darkness is broken. So we want to hear clearly how God wants us to move, so that the body of Christ can receive his jubilee fully. Amen. When Esther then finished praying, they did not just sit. God led her to move. It was a step of faith. When Jehoshaphat finished praying and fasting, God spoke to them. They moved. They stepped out, and things changed. You know, so we will be sensitive in these hours. We receive directions from the Lord that will begin to open the door for things to manifest physically over the nation and into the body of Christ. So we thank God for this amazing season we are in, and thank you so much for your faithfulness and your commitment. And I know that every one of you will see. We have a testimony in your family, and I thank God for what he's already doing, even in my personal life. Tonight, usually, as we wait upon the Lord, I just ask the Lord what is on his heart tonight to share. Yeah, I don't just wake up and feel like sharing anything. So sometimes I just wait and nothing comes to mind. There might be so many things in my spirit I would like to share, but sometimes you have to really be sensitive what God wants you to share. So when I don't receive a clear direction what to share, sometimes I feel led to call on our brother Abraham, because I know God is raising him up as a prophetic voice, and also a man with a mindset and understanding of the kingdom and the church, how the church should operate in this season. So tonight I was praying, and I feel again to wait and just call our brother Abraham, and let's continue to keep him in prayer. There's a reason why the Lord keep leading us to partner with him in this season of training. So please, let's just receive whatever God has laid on his heart as we continue to wait on the Lord and what he's doing. So brother Abraham, when you finish, you can turn it back to Mommy Billy, you know, later. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, man of God, Pastor Obi and Mommy Billy, and every other leaders who have been praying for us and given me this opportunity to share. Even though it's an aspect that I believe the Holy Spirit has a word for all of us to encourage us. I'm so blessed to hear about your fasting and prayer for the last 21 days, because things are shifting in the spirit. Things are changing in the spirit for you and for your family and for your future and for your destiny. Because when you study about God's people in his word, almost all of them, they had a fasting lifestyle. Moses fasted 40 days, two times, God, and Daniel fasted, David fasted, Esther fasted, Nehemiah fasted, Ezra fasted, Job fasted, Jesus fasted, and Paul had a fasting lifestyle. Often, that's what he says in his epistles. What happens when we fast, you know, we align with God and God's will and purpose. We align with heaven when you're fasting and prayer, because your flesh and your body become silent, and it become weak, and you tune into your spirit and to the Holy Spirit to hear what heaven wants to do, heaven is saying on this earth. Because as a church, we are supposed to receive from the Lord release on this earth. Receive from the Lord, release it on this earth. Receive from the Lord, release on this earth. That's why, that's the one word that God wants you to receive tonight in your spirit, man. When we pray, we are not just praying for our material needs, but we are receiving from the Lord. That's what Paul said. What I receive from the Lord, I have given it to you. I receive from the Lord, I release it to you as an apostolic gift. And the fivefold ministry gives, their duty is to receive from the Lord and release it to the people, release it to the earth, the God's will and God's purpose. You receive it in prayer. Now there is, I don't know how many of you are praying on this line, weeks after weeks, months after weeks, for this nation, for the destiny of this nation, and you receive from the Lord. Now God is saying, release it to this earth, release it to this nation, release it to the government, release it to the economy, release it to the educational system. God's will, that's why his heart is for his will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So as God's people, as God's children, we receive it from the Lord. Whatever God's mind is, whatever is in the mind of God, whatever God wants to birth on this earth for such a time as this, there are intercessors. God is raising up all over the world in his church to release something supernatural, because there's a change, there's a shift that is happening in the church right now. God is restoring his church to his original intent, to his original glory, which he began in the New Testament 2,000 years ago. Oh my God, he wants to restore his church. You know, Jesus said, oh my goodness. See, sometimes we think Jesus died so that we can receive salvation and just blessings, you know. We can get a people come to us all the time asking, Lord, man of God or woman of God, pray for my family, pray for my husband, pray for my children. We need a house, we need a new car, and pray for my children's education, all those things. Let me tell you, see, those blessings were already in the Old Testament. God already promised through Moses, oh my God, that I will bless your family and bless your children and bless your generation. Jesus didn't have to die for those blessings. Those blessings were already in action. Our father Abraham, he was a blessed man. He might have been, had more riches in his life than all of us combined. And Jesus hadn't died yet. He was a wealthy man. Solomon was the richest man. Solomon was the richest man. He was the wisest man on this earth. He had every blessing he can have. He had palaces. He had summer homes. He had winter homes. He had everything. All those blessings were already there. Now God is saying, take your mind off those natural things. Take your minds off those material things. That's not that Jesus died for us. He died for us for something more important, something more powerful. The gospel that has been preaching for 2,000 years, maybe not 2,000 years in America, it has been always about receiving something material blessing. Something material. God wants you to have a better life, personal success, this and that, airplanes and cars. See, Jesus didn't have to die for those junk. Those junk were already here. People of Israel, they were blessed by those things before Jesus ever shed his blood on the cross. We just celebrated Easter last Sunday. My God, why did Jesus have to die? Why he has to endure such a pain? Where he has to be scourged by the army of Rome? He was treated like an animal, spat upon, rejected. Oh my God. Not just for some people to receive a bigger homes. We all need homes. I'm not against getting homes. Don't misunderstand. But I'm trying to shift your mind to tell you those blessings were already active before Jesus died. before he paid the price, before he shed his blood, all those blessings God promised Israel, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, God blessed them. But there's something more powerful that he wants to restore. That's where Jesus had to die on this earth. I wanted to think about this for the rest of the week, actually. Why did Jesus have to die? I know he died for us to take us to heaven. We know that. But there's something more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. See, when Jesus birthed the church on this earth, when in Matthew chapter 16, that is the place where he said for the first time about church. That is the first time during this earthly ministry, Jesus talking about church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And he said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That is the first time from the mouth of Jesus Christ the word church came out during his earthly ministry. I will build my church. What is church is all about? Why did he build his church on this earth? If you study the first century church, it was a triumphant church. They conquered nations and world, not through military power, but through prayer. Like Daniel did. Esther did. Oh, are you ready to receive something powerful tonight? See, all these people, when they fasted, like Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, Daniel, all these people's fasting was addressing the government and the kingdoms they were living at that time. The plan and the purpose of the kings were changed because of the fasting and prayer of his people. That is the power of fasting. Our fasting and prayer has power to shift kingdoms, decisions of kings, to change the minds of kings. Their decisions, their plans can be changed by the fasting and prayer of God's people. Daniel prayed for the fulfillment of God's promise that he promised through Jeremiah that he will restore his people back to Jerusalem, to Israel. But Esther, I believe there's more women in this prayer line than men right now. Esther was a woman. She's the one who took that initiative, telling her uncle Mordecai to fast and pray for 3 days without even drinking water. Her family, her entire people of Jewish people, their life was at stake. There was a sentence that was being made against them to annihilate them from the face of this earth, to destroy them, to kill them, their families, their animals, their wealth, to rob them, to plunder them. The sentence was written, and here Esther is deciding to fast and pray. That's what changed the mind of the king. There's something happened in the spirit. Every time you decide to fast and pray, there's something happens in the spirit realm. That you may not see the result in the natural immediately, but it will come. But let me tell you, under the prophetic anointing right now, Holy Spirit wants to tell you, your fasting and prayer, God has heard your prayer, and the answer is in the process. Some of us been released, some of us about to be released, some of us already been released, and you are going to see great breakthroughs in your life. Say amen. Thank you, Jesus. See, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. Everybody repeat after me. I don't know how to hear it, but you just say, I'm the salt of the earth. You're a salt of the earth. You're not the salt of heaven. You're salt of the earth. Church is not a place that's supposed to be training people how to live in heaven. Church is supposed to be a place that's supposed to be training people how to reign on earth as God's children. I will repeat that again. Church is a place. It's not a place where you come and you train people how to live in heaven. Church is supposed to be a place where you train people how to reign as children of God, sons and daughters of God. That's why he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. We have been so heavenly minded. We have neglected the earth and everything God has put on this earth. What does it mean by saying you are the salt of the earth? Salt brings taste. All of you cooking, ladies and men, they are listening to me. When you cook, you know salt is very important. You can have all other ingredients, and if you don't have salt, that which that has been cooked is not tasty to eat. If the earth is not tasting good, if life on this earth is not tasting good, what is the matter? The salt is not added. The salt is not bringing its taste. You and I, the church, is the salt of the earth. Not only it brings taste, but it preserves. Salt preserves whatever it attached to it. It preserves it. We're supposed to preserve this earth. Thank you, Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are not light of heaven. There's no need of light in heaven. The Lamb, the Son of God, will be the shining light in heaven and in the and the life to come on this earth. It says, talks about in Revelation chapter 22, there's no need of sun. There's no need of light there, because the Lamb of God, the Son of the living God, with his brightness of his glory, he can lighten every darkness. And you and I are the light of this world. Not the light of heaven, light of the world. We are the light of the world. What light does is expels darkness. If there is any works of darkness, if there is anything that is going on, the church is the light of this world. We're supposed to be expelling those darkness. Jesus didn't say you hide from the world in a cave somewhere. He said, no, you're the light. You're supposed to be on the forefront, showing light to the people of the world, showing them the way. This is the way to walk in it. This is the path you need to walk in it, because we are the light of the world. But we have been hiding our light for too long, because we have been taught that we don't belong on this earth. What if Joseph lived his life thinking, you know, I don't belong on this earth. I'm just passing by. What if Moses lived like that attitude? I don't belong on this earth. I'm just passing by. What if David lived like that? What if Daniel lived like that? I don't belong on this earth. I don't care what is happening in Babylon. I don't care about all those idol worshippers and doing all those crazy stuff. Let them deal with it. God will judge them. He will destroy them. No, that was not the attitude this man and woman of God had. What if Esther thought, you know, I don't belong on this earth. I came to this palace. I have a wonderful life. I have a nice bed to sleep on. I live on the king's palace. Good food and everything. I don't care if Jewish people get killed or not. But she was willing to risk her life. She was willing to take a step of faith. She was willing to put her life on the line for the entire nation. And God wants us to have the same mind that these men and women of God had in the Bible. That's why they made a difference on this earth for God. And when they finished the purpose of God, they left this earth, went to be with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Church supposed to be the solving problem agent on this earth. Every church, we are the only visible manifestation of God's kingdom on this earth. God's kingdom now, it is an invisible kingdom. It hasn't arrived naturally yet. It hasn't manifested naturally, it is an invisible kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So when we come as a church, when we come as a body, we're supposed to manifest the invisible kingdom of God to this visible earth, to the natural world. We are the conduit. We are the channel. We are the visible manifestation of God's kingdom on this earth. We are the visible manifestation of invisible God on this earth. The churches. we're supposed to manifest God to this earth. If there's an economic problem, church is supposed to have the solution. If there's a hunger problem, the church is supposed to have a solution. If there's a social problem, church is the solution for a social problem. If there is any kind of problem, church is the light and the salt of this world. And God has equipped you and I. He has deposited a seed. He has deposited his anointing. He has deposited his wealth, his promises in you. And you and I need to release it for such a time as this. In Colossians chapter 2, it's a powerful verse that I like from the Bible. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him, that's talking about Jesus Christ, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus Christ lives in you and I. Means all those treasures of wisdom and knowledge has been hidden in each believer in Christ Jesus. Oh my Lord, my God. There is a deposit of treasure in each believer. That's what the Bible talks about. We are the earthen vessel carrying the glory of God. There's a treasure in each of us God has deposited. A treasure that is not visible to the natural eye. If it was so, it won't be a treasure. For a treasure to be discovered, you have to dig deep. That's why you've been doing this 21 days of fasting and prayer. You've been digging deep. Some of you found some treasures that has been hidden that you didn't know before in your life, in your spirit man. You heard about treasure hunting stories. People, men and women, has went for treasure hunting, risked their life. Many of them died. I live in Colorado, the state of Colorado, and I heard a story about here. Somebody went to, there's a group came from France to treasure hunt a deposit of gold in Colorado many years ago. There were more than 100 people that came searching for that treasure. Almost everybody died except one guy. That is the cost of discovering treasures. God's wisdom, God's knowledge to solve the problems of this world. Dear brothers and sisters, there's a deposit of treasure from heaven in your spirit man. In your spirit man, do not die before releasing that treasure on this earth to solve a problem that God wants you to solve. Do not die. I want all of us, this is my prayer almost every day, Lord, I want to die empty. Whatever you deposit into my spirit man that needs to be released on this earth, before I die, I want to die empty. For the next generation, if you don't die empty, you are stealing from the next generation. The blessing that the next generation is supposed to experience because of the release of the deposit that God has put in you, if you don't release it, they won't get to enjoy it. Some of our fathers, they didn't release what God has deposited in them. That's where we are struggling in different areas of our life, because we didn't receive that deposit from them. They went to the grave and that treasure was buried with them. And Holy Spirit is commanding us, encouraging us, exhorting us tonight, do not die with that treasure and go to the grave with that. You release that treasure for the benefit of this earth and the people and the next generation. Thank you, Jesus. We are not just here to feed the hungry, to help the orphans. That's not what the first century church was doing. If you read the book of Acts, you don't read about any churches starting an orphanage. I started an orphanage, don't misunderstand me, in India. But that was not the primary focus. Their primary focus was impacting nations, impacting cities. Paul selected these primary cities, Colossae, Corinth, Rome, in every Galatia, all those major cities, Philippi, Ephesus. These were major cities like New York, Chicago, London, Paris. These cities were impacted by the church. How did they impact the church? Because they became solutions to spiritual problems, political problems, social problems, economic problems, and Corinth, the city of Corinth, was transformed because of the church that was in that city. God wants to release his people. Otherwise, he is going to shake the church, shake the pastors who are leading the church, who are not releasing his people to go and release this treasure that God has deposited in them. That's the transition period right now we are in. God is telling, we are entering into a season for the church to reign on this earth. Not the millennial reign, that is after Jesus comes back, but there's a dimension of reigning that needs to happen right now. That's what Paul said to the church in Corinth. I want to read to you one more scripture, then I'm going to pray for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this is a powerful verse that changed my thinking, what the first century church was doing. They were not just singing songs waiting for Jesus to come back or waiting for a revival. These churches were started by Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8, it says, "You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us." Wow. This is talking about the first century church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "You're already full. You're already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you." Who taught them to reign? How did these believers get the idea that we're supposed to be reigning in this life? He's talk about Romans chapter 5. He's also talk about reigning in life. Who taught them this? Apostle Paul did. Because he's the one who founded that church in Corinth. What was he teaching them? He was not teaching them, you know, people, oh, Jesus is going to come back. You're all going to fly away. Then we are going to be singing in heaven for millions and millions of years, worshiping God. No, he was teaching them, you're supposed to be reigning on this earth in this city of Corinth right now on behalf of Jesus Christ. You have reigned. How did they reign? The secret is in chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Paul is telling them, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. It says, whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Whose? Belongs to the church. All are yours. The world, the things present, things to come, all are yours. All are yours. All are belongs to the church. All things that is on this world belongs to the church for establishing God's kingdom on this earth. But right now, not after Jesus comes back, not after we go to heaven, right now, it says all are yours. World, Cephas, Christ, things present, things to come, everything is belongs to you. It's yours. Receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Claim what belongs to you. Claim what belongs to your Heavenly Father. And release it, as I said at the beginning, receive it from the Lord, release it to this earth. Receive from the Lord, release to God's people. That's what I have been doing it all my life. I receive from the Lord, I release it to the people. And people receive it and they manifest it in their life. To bless their community and nations, to change and impacting cities for Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the release of that anointing to inherit. Oh, the Holy Spirit is saying the church has been operating mindset. Oh, this is the word of the Lord for you. Oh my God, thank you, Holy Spirit. The church has been operating with the wilderness mindset for almost 2,000 years. You know, we are like the people of Israel that has been saved from Egypt. God brought them to the wilderness, but God promised them the promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. But they had to cross the wilderness. Every child of God has to go through a process called wilderness in their life. Wilderness is a place of miracles, but it's also a place of lack. Wilderness is also a place of evident presence of God, but you're still experiencing minimum blessings in your life. God meets your need. Wonderful. Every need that you have, God will meet it. Every time you need a miracle, it comes. Manna was provided by God for 40 years. Their food was provided by God. Their clothing was provided by God. Everything was free. But when they reached the Jordan River, after 40 years, God did not expect them to be in the wilderness for 40 years. It was their choice. God wanted them to be in the wilderness only for 40 days maximum. And he was going to take them to the promised land. But the people didn't pass the test they went through in the wilderness. The church loves miracles, supernatural provision. They want to see signs and wonders like the cloud by night and the fire by night and the cloud by day. Water flowing out of the rock. Meat and food appearing on the ground whenever they need it. But when the moment they crossed the Jordan River, something changed in the spirit realm. Manna stopped immediately. The cloud by day disappeared. The fire by night disappeared. The rock that was following them, providing them water, ceased giving water. Wow. So because they were entering into a different level in their spiritual life, now they are beginning to possess the land that God has promised them. Oh my God, there's a transition. That transition has to take place in the church right now. We have been operating in the wilderness mode. We like the free stuff. We like the miraculous. We like the shaking. And we like the rolling on the floor. We like the manifestations of God. But there's a time coming for the church to mature. Mature in the things of God. To step in to possess the land for God. That is the change that is happening in the church right now. We are in that transition moment from wilderness to the promised land. Miracles, the time that we run after miracles is ending. We are going to run after the promises of God to possess the land that God has promised our fathers. There is tremendous wealth in the promised land. There is tremendous wealth that God has promised. But now you need to put into action the things that you have learned in the wilderness. You had to plant your vineyard. You had to sow your seed in the promised land. You had to cultivate. You had to do your agriculture. You had to have your farms. You had to have your flocks. You had to grow them to be a blessing to the nations of the world. That is the word for the church right now. God is bringing his church because we have been so dependent, addicted to this miracles, you know. The Holy Spirit told me the miracles that apostles did, they didn't do that in the church. It was for the unbelievers. All the miracles that we read in the book of Acts, it was the unbelieving people. It was not the miracles in the church, most of them. But today, the apostles do more miracles in the church. And they are not doing any miracles outside. How come there is people? following God's path, His design for our life. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We haven't possessed the land in any country that God has given us, the church. But the time is coming. He's raising up. He's restoring His church right now in the season. If Jesus tarries to come, oh my Lord, if Jesus tarries to come for the next 1,000 years, because this is the third millennia that we are entering in, the 2,000 years have gone. We are entering into the third millennia. We are in the third millennia of church history. The number three is the number of resurrection, restoration, unity. God will unite His church on this earth. He will do it. He will remove some of those leaders who are standing in between, that they are against uniting His body. The church has been scattered, divided into hundreds of pieces, millions of pieces. We're supposed to be the greatest economic force on this earth, the church. We're supposed to be the greatest knowledge, resources, wealth, and wisdom, resources for everything this world needs. The church is supposed to be the light and the salt of this earth. And it is happening, and it will begin to happen. It is beginning to happen right now. I am so excited that you and I are part of that movement that God is doing right now on this earth. The greatest prayer that you can pray in your life is this: every day, pray this prayer. Lord, I want to be part of what you are doing on this earth right now. I want to partner with you in what you are doing right now on this earth. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your people, my God. Lord, I thank you. Many of you, you know, sometimes when those miracles cease, when the manna stops, you wonder, did God leave you? God didn't leave you. Some of you listening to me tonight, you're in that stage in your heart and your spirit. You just feel like God has left you. No, God didn't leave you. He is allowing you to mature, to enter into the promised land. He hasn't left you. But you are in a different season of your life right now. You were so used to the manna. You were so used to the feeling. You were so used to the manifestation. And those things were seized. And now you're wondering, maybe God rejected me. No, God didn't reject you. God hasn't left you. You are in a new season of your life. Now is the time to put those resources, that deposit of treasury that God has made in your spirit, to practice, to make this place a better place than you arrived when you were born. Father, I thank you for solutions. Father, I thank you for the deposit of treasure, of wisdom and knowledge in your people to solve the problems, Father, in the spirit and in the natural. I thank you for speaking to us tonight. I thank you for your faithful men and women who have been praying and fasting for the last 21 days, Father. I thank you for transformation, deliverance, and breakthrough in their life. I thank you, Father, they will enter into a season of maturity, that they will not fight about little bickering things, those things that bothered them in the last season. They will not bothered by those things, Father. The murmurings in the wilderness has ceased. That murmuring season is over. The maturing season has come. Maturing into the things of God, the maturing things of Jesus Christ, to the full man, Christ Jesus, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, Father, that you will reach the full stature of Christ Jesus. Not a baby stage, Father, but full maturity, Father. I thank you and I bless your people tonight. I thank you for their hearts and their ears to hear this word. Let it bring forth fruit. I give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for thankful for you for allowing me to share whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to this church today, right now. Thank you. Back to Pastor Obi.
Father, we thank you so much for speaking to us tonight. We thank you for impacting our life. It's in our word. We thank you for the confirmations we've had tonight. We thank you for the transition that is taking place in our heart. We thank you for the empowerment to lay hold on our inheritance, to lay hold on our possession. We thank you for the understanding you've given us that has set us free from where we've been to where we ought to be. We thank you for breaking condemnations and causing us to receive confirmations. Father, we thank you for the obedience of your Son. And tonight, we bring him and his family under the blanket of your mercy. Father, we thank you that his obedience to wait on you, to seek you, and to release that which you've given. I pray you said, he that gives, you will give him more pressed than shaking together. I pray, Father, that you will overwhelm him. Oh God, you will saturate him. You will enrich him. You will clothe him. You will continue to overflow in his life because he's willing to release that which you've given to him. Father, we bless him and his family. We bless his children. We bless his ministry. And we consecrate every area of his life to you. Give him a voice in this season, in this hour, over your in your church and in the nation. Thank you for his obedience tonight. And we commit him to you. Father, we thank you for everyone that has heard your word tonight. We pray that we're not just hearers only, but we are those who manifest fruits. We are those who hear with the passion to obey. We receive your word, we receive it, and we thank you for it. Receive all the glory and honor, for you alone are worthy. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.